Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
You know, it's always fun to look back at what's happened in the past and appreciate the people and events that make things maybe even change the way that we live today or the way we enjoy our football. And Tim Brown of Football Archaeology does this quite a bit in his writings and his presentations he does here. We're welcoming him here again this Tuesday to talk about a great story from football's past. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Thank you, Darren. This is perhaps one of the most important questions we have addressed together.
All right.
Who played in the Midwest's first college football game? I mean,
that is pretty important. You know,
it is. You know, I mean, it's not the birth of football, but it's certainly the heartland of it.
Yeah, I mean,
people in the South may argue something different or whatever, but I don't care.
You think about it, you know, the Midwest, at the time we're recording this, the Midwest has won the last three national championships, you know, and all these Big Ten schools are in the Midwest.
Well, plus, so they won D1, D2, and D3 this year.
Yeah, so Midwest has got some football going on, that's for sure.
And who? And Montana State won FCS, right? Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah.
So they're kind of Midwest.
Yeah, so that's a very valid statement and very pertinent to the modern day football fan. So, what can you tell us about the story?
Yeah, so you know, for a long time, I mean, like myself, you know, everybody, you know, it's the you know you read something, you depend on what other people have done in the past in order to build your work, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you use their building blocks. Well, sometimes those building blocks are wrong, but you don't know it until you look into it. Or until somebody else looks into it and finds something new. So, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago because, you know, we were just chatting about how history kind of gets reinvented, you know, from time to time, right? And either because new facts emerge, you know, I liken it to, you know, if they haven't dug up that fossil yet, we don't know that a certain dinosaur ever existed. And so in a football history, you know, in that realm, if nobody stumbled upon this article before or nobody went looking for a certain thing before, we may not know that it happened because we forget, you know, or, you know, society forgets. So anyways, for a long time, the kind of received wisdom was that the first football game in the Midwest was Michigan against Racine College. And I wrote a tidbit about that, I don't know, 4 years ago, something like that. Because that's the story that I'd always heard. And so then I dug into it and found newspaper articles and said, oh, here's what happened. You know, add a little bit of flavor to it. And but I didn't check at the time. I didn't check to see, well, maybe was there an earlier game? I forget how I, you know, kind of got into this, but I ended up coming across the fact that Northwestern had played a team called the Chicago Football Club in February 1876. So somebody at Northwestern must have found that out around 2014, even though I didn't find out about when I wrote the article about Michigan and Racine. So then Northwestern, because it's their, like, that game occurred in like February of 1876. And so we just passed the 150th anniversary of that game. So that Northwestern is, you know, making a little bit of noise about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I came across it. And so then I ended up looking into the Chicago Football Club because, you know, in that case, it was a team that played rugby rules. You know, I mean, everybody called it football at the time, sometimes rugby, but so they were the Chicago Football Club, but they played under rugby union rules, and it was mostly made up of English immigrants. So, you know, we always think of the Canadians introducing football to us because that's the story that we get from the East Coast, right? Mm-hmm. And that did happen, obviously. But here in the Midwest, it was the English immigrants. So, you know, these guys are out there, you know, they're trying to find people to play, but hardly anybody has heard of this game or played it. So they're playing people like, you know, the Chicago Barge Club, which must have been some kind of sailing, you know, sort of organization. You know, a little bit later, you had cycling clubs. And, like, they might start as a cycling club, but then they play football and baseball, too. I mean, that's just kind of the way those clubs work. But they end up playing Northwestern. And Northwestern was able to have 20 guys on their team, and the Chicago Football Club only had 15. And, you know, like, Northwestern hadn't bothered to set up the goalposts, so there were no goalposts for the game, so they must have kicked, like, over a wall, or they did something, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I said, okay, well, I'm going to look into this Chicago Football Club and just try to, you know, gather up some more information about them. And in doing the legwork on that, I found that they had played Loyola of Chicago in December of 1875, which actually makes it really one of the earliest football, you know, rugby/football games played by an American college. So then I'm like, okay, well, then that becomes the earliest football game played by an American college. And then, you know, we can get into this and argue about it if you want, but, you know, the story also kind of gets into the whole thing. Okay, at what point did rugby, like, this was a rugby match, you know, both when they played Northwestern and when they played Loyola, it was a rugby match. So is a rugby match football? You know, is a rugby match from 1875 considered football, or is it rugby? And if you're going to there's that basic question. And then if you're going to say, no, it's rugby, okay, then it's, okay, well, when did football become football? You know, at what point in the game's history was it no longer rugby? So then we can say, oh, that's the first football game, or that's the first football game in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And another slice of it is, okay, what does, if only one of the two teams playing in a game is a college team, is that still a college football game? And if not, you know, if you need both of them to be college football teams, then every team that has on their all-time winning records, their all-time records, games against high schools, against military teams, against athletic club teams, against YMCA teams,
professional teams.
Yeah. Get rid of every one of those. Right. So, cause you can't have it both ways. Right. So anyways, I mean, I think those are kind of fun issues to kind of kick around a little bit. So here I am. I'm all proud of myself because I found this little story. And then, like, a day later, a day after I published it, I find another story. And it was published by Northwestern, like, on the 150th anniversary of their game. And so, and I'm like, hey, no, sorry, I found this earlier one. So I wrote to the football SID and said, hey, I found this game. And he wrote back to me pretty quickly and said, well, here's our deal. They have some sources that I just haven't had the chance to check yet. They have some sources that indicated that the game with Loyola was supposed to be a practice game. Mm. And it was, there was also something about it was a foreign game, which foreign back then meant away game. But anyways, you know, they've got some kind of stuff that's suggest to them it wasn't a real game. So then their game was the first, you know, the Northwestern Chicago Football Club game was the first game. So to be determined whether the story that I wrote is accurate or not. I mean, it's accurate in terms of what happened, but you know, I still need to do some more research to determine whether or not Northwestern's view of that game is one that I agree with, or that I still agree with my original position.
Okay. Okay. So let's, you posed a question within this question, and you said, okay, when was football, you know, when was it a football game? When was it a rugby game? In your opinion, and you've done quite a bit of research on this and wrote and have talked to people like Dr. Tony Collins about these different genres of what we call football around the world. Yep. So when do you think the time frame, maybe not the particular game, when was that time frame where the first American football game would have taken place?
Yeah, so I view it, and so this Loyola game actually kind of violates what I'm, you know, my general position. So my general position is American football started in 1876. And I say that because they formed the Intercollegiate Football Association in 1876. They adopted the rugby rules, the rugby union rules, as the, you know, how they were going to play one another. And it's kind of like the Pope, you know, you can trace the lineage of popes back to St. Peter, right? Mm-hmm. And American football, you can trace the lineage of the football rules back to the adoption of the rugby union rules that year. And they tweaked and they changed like four rules in 1876. So in my mind, that's what football began, when those, after the adoption of those rules.
All right.
But for argument's sake, in terms of the first game in the Midwest, and for the purpose of this article, you know, I'm willing to argue that Loyola was.
But it's a lot more accurate than if people are considering, you know, the game in 1869 to be the first college football game, which had no semblance of modern football at all, or rules. So I think, you're a lot closer with the Loyola game.
Yeah, I mean, they may have even called it football, but, you know, any kicking game was, you know, considered football at the time. And, yeah, I mean, there's so many things wrong with that game. And I just view it as, you know, Park H. Davis, a Princeton guy, was, you know, probably the preeminent early historian. And so he said it was that game. And so that's the way it's kind of come down. But I don't consider that to be, even though, like, you know, a few years back, I would have said, yeah, that was first game. Well, not anymore. I, you know, just learned enough to argue otherwise.
Yeah, maybe it's more of a consideration for the first intercollegiate sporting event between. Baseball games probably.
Crew and baseball before that.
Okay. All right. So that even it throws that one out.
First intercollegiate contests were crew.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, Tim, you ask the hard questions, you research the hard questions, and then you bring them to us and really make us think, you know, in your writings, you know, tonight, you're doing it here in this episode. And you do this a lot and study the antiquity and make people appreciate what's happened in the past. Maybe you could share with us how folks can get into this and see your work.
Sure. Just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site, you know. Either, you know, bookmark it or subscribe, in which case you'll get an email every time I send out a new story. You know, you can also find my books through that site, or just go to Amazon and search for Timothy B. Brown or football history, and you'll find one of my books. So,
yeah, I highly recommend it. You got a lot of good ones, and people can learn a lot. So just like they can from your tidbits and listening to you here. So, Tim, we really appreciate you joining us this Tuesday and talking about football history. I'd love to talk to you again next week.
Very good. Thanks, sir.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.